The British writer Christopher Hitchens, one of the most reliable allies of the United States administration's conduct of the war on terror, has joined a lawsuit seeking a ban on domestic spy programs authorized by President George Bush. In two lawsuits filed separately by the American Civil Liberties Union in Detroit and the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York City, the National Security Agency, we know it as NSA, is accused of violating the Constitution by eavesdropping on people without court oversight. They represent the first legal challenge to the surveillance program, which has outraged some members of Congress and led to charges that Mr. Bush has overstepped his authority as the president. Mr. Bush authorized the monitoring of Americans suspected of having links with Al-Qaeda in 2002, allowing the NSA to bypass the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which had ordinarily granted warrants for such surveillance. Mr. Bush and other officials have vigorously defended the secret wiretap regime since it was disclosed last month. They insisted that they have the surveillance and that it was authorized by Congress after the 2001 terror attacks. Officials also argue the eavesdropping led to the capture of terrorists and helped save American lives. However, it's been reported by the New York Times that although the NSA flooded the FBI with telephone numbers and email addresses of Americans they believed were linked to Al-Qaeda, eavesdropping failed to detect any terrorist networks inside the United States. Virtually none of the individuals turned out to have links to terrorists. This is just one of the stories we'll talk with Alex Jones about. I call him the bulldog because once he bites into a story, he just doesn't let go. Also, he'll be talking about some incredible new video about the comings and goings of the Bohemian Grove. All that is next on Coast to Coast AM. Alex Jones is an award-winning documentary filmmaker and political researcher. His news websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, are at the forefront of the exploding alternative media. Alex is recognized by so many as the father of 9/11, of the truth movement, being the first to question the government's official story. His newest film is Martial Law 9/11, Rise of the Police State. It details, of course, 9/11 revelations. And he also has updated his Bohemian Grove video. We'll talk about that later in the program as well. And if you get up to the coasttocoastam.com website throughout the night, you'll see a small clip that Alex provided to us that was given to him by an insider, somebody who worked there. We'll get to that. But Alex calls life lately prison without bars. Alex, welcome back. How are you?
George, I'm great, and it's wonderful to be here with you in 2006. And just out of the gates, I want to say that my prayers and my sorrow goes out to Art Bell for what happened to his wonderful wife, Ramona Bell, and I know a lot of people have said that, but I just wanted to say it because I really mean it. You know, I'm happily married, and, you know, to wake up and have that happen, it just sounds like a nightmare. But at the same time, it shows us all how quick life goes by, and this happens to a lot of people who are her age or even younger, and we've all got to really thank God every day for the time we've got here and live every hour as if it's our last. So I just want to say to Art and his family and, of course, the whole Coast to Coast a family that I also know is very upset by this, that our prayers are with you.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate that. You know, when I first had my exposure to you a couple of years ago, it came in a very strange way. I've talked with you about this before. You know, I was doing open lines one night, just talking about just things, you know, ghosts, UFOs, shadow people, you know, flus. Somebody called me and said, hey, you got to get that Alex Jones guy on your show. He does a radio show. And he just kind of left it as that. Well, generally, you know, rule of thumb, you know, a lot of radio people don't have other radio people on their talk shows. It just really doesn't happen. You know, people think of it as competition or whatever. It's just been an unwritten rule generally. Well, you know, I sat back and said, well, you know what? I have had Joyce Riley and her husband, David Von Kleist, on the program before. They've got their own small radio show, and it has now since grown. And I said, you know, let me give this guy a listen to. And I did, and I said, you know what? He's different. You know, he provides a perspective, love him or hate him, believe him or not, he provides a perspective that is important in America because he makes you think. And then I started realizing that these weren't just Alex Jones's views. You go out and assemble the information. You find it in various trades, print, television, and you put it together, and then you develop the two websites. And now here you are, and we've had a relationship now of at least a couple of years, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, and I've been really honored to be part of this broadcast, one of the biggest radio shows, obviously, in the country. You look at cable with top shows, a few million viewers, but you have tens of millions of listeners every night. It's such a great opportunity. In fact, I hope listeners will listen to the whole 3 hours that's coming up, because we've got massive evidence of spying right down to the local level, local CIA offices, everything being tracked. And, folks, it isn't George Bush that's doing it. I mean, George Bush, Bill Clinton, they're just front men. And I am neurotic. I mean, my delivery may not even be the best, but I am obsessed with documenting every claim I make. And so much of what's happening is hidden in the fine print. A lot of what I cover is in the trade publications, the companies servicing the control grid. They all brag about what they're doing. And so really the truth is there if you want to research. And up on coasttocoastam.com, there's kind of a roadmap or a nightly show program. I've written an article, one of my writers has written an article, Control Grid, the Prison Without Bars, 1984 was a picnic compared to modern day Leviathan surveillance cage. And we have another article about the re-infiltration, a new amazing 2-year infiltration by an employee of the Bohemian Grove, one of the most elite globalist organizations in the world, where the Manhattan Project and the Star Wars program and many others were hatched. They even brag about that. There's some of their university mouthpieces. I mean, I was in there for 5 hours. This fellow was in there for 2 years. And of course, I got a call from him, and he said, "Oh, I work there. I'm getting video." And I'm like, "Yeah, sure. I get lots of calls, lots of emails." Well, I got dozens of hours of footage and hundreds of photos, and that's in the new film, The Order of Death. So that's coming up later. I hope people will tune in for that. But frankly, this NSA situation, this is what the globalists do. This is what the brainwashers, the conditioners do. They say Al-Qaeda is making phone calls. Shouldn't we be able to tune into them? And this is a key point I want to make up front. I have been a Republican since I was in high school. I am not a Republican now because both parties have been bought out by the same global interests, IMF, World Bank, Sachs, Coburg, Dothas, and others. And tonight, hopefully, we can get into some of who these elitists are and really talk about the power behind the throne, behind the puppets. In national polls, 70 to 90%, depending on what poll, are against being spied on. But if they make it political and say, our good Republican George Bush is trying to keep you safe, those dirty Democrats, then only 52%, depending on the poll, to 55% are against it. So automatically, by making it political, which you never do, George, and I always think that's really astute of you, not because you're afraid to get political, but because you realize that's just a front, a facade. By making it political, we automatically balkanize, or I heard you last hour use a better term, polarize. Look, I don't care if you're a liberal, a socialist, a fascist, a right-winger, whatever you are. As Americans, we don't want to have the NSA and the local police tracking and listening to us and following us. But if we make it political, automatically the Republicans are going to go, oh, George Bush is good, this is okay. Listen, folks, the National Security Agency is many times bigger than the FBI, than the CIA. There are 15 major intelligence agencies. The NSA is the biggest. And it was declassified 20 years ago. The big ABC News, Nightly News producer, Bamford, wrote a best-selling book in the mid-80s about it. So it's on record that they have keyword software, and of course violation of federal law. Randomly listening to all phone calls, randomly reading the faxes, the emails, the radio intercepts, the signal intercepts. So this is all staged. When they come out and say Bush is just ordering, he doesn't care if it's a violation of federal law, he wants to keep you safe, he's just ordering the NSA to listen to Bin Laden when he calls America. And now that's the big nightly news headline. But when you actually look at what this whole control grid's doing, it is tracking everything. And I literally, up on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, and then in the Control Grid article that you link to up on CoastToCoastAM.com, I have hundreds of mainstream news articles where they admit all of this, but none of these stories get traction. Let me just, if it's okay, George, just sit here and maybe read just the headlines of a few articles here.
All right.
USDA using satellites to monitor farmers, and it says if they catch them growing more crops than they say they're growing or building a barn, when they're not allowed to under zoning, they're being arrested. And local governments are now using the satellites as well. So are farmers Al-Qaeda? Okay, this is all illegal. There's no warrants. It's out of control. Okay, that's Associated Press. Okay, here's another one.
True story. Absolutely true story, by the way.
And George, I actually have 127 articles in a stack right here printed in front of me. Here's another one. They're all just as bad. But actually, most of them are worse. NSA use city police as trackers. So local police under NSA control, Baltimore Sun following anti-war protesters. They use CIA with the local bike group in New York, been around for 14 years. When a bicycler got run over, they went out for a vigil, not even a protest, and the CIA was there tracking them. I have vegans who protested at a honey ham place. This is AP. And they were arrested by Homeland Security federal officers for terrorism for protesting the hams. Associated Press, by the way. I'm not kidding. The NSA used city police as trackers. Here's another one. You mentioned it, two groups sue U.S. over domestic surveillance. But quite frankly, I think those are staged events meant to be lost to create bad precedent. That's the inside game. Of course, there's Sabelle Edmonds, the big FBI/NSA whistleblower, who heard the intercepts of government, that is, compartments in government, criminal groups, trafficking in drugs, terrorism, weapons, and was ordered not to stop them. I've interviewed the FBI agents. See, that's the point, too. The NSA really got intercepts post 9/11. This all has come out. But every time they did, and that's the same thing with Able Danger, you know, Army colonels going public and saying, we knew specifically what was going to happen, we're ordered to stand down. Again, folks, it isn't about stopping the terrorist. Here's another one. This is out of the eHealth Insider Journal. Furor over Patriot Act, power to seize doctors' records. Bush signs executive order. Every prescription you get is instantly uploaded without a warrant. This was last year. Just type in all prescription drugs, diaphragms, prosthesis, any prescription ibuprofen. It is all instantly uploaded to the federal government.
Well, Alex, we get the picture.
Cover 10, George. I've got 100.
Well, we'd be doing that all night. We've got the picture. They're doing all these things. Here's the question: why? What are they doing this for?
That's the question. That's the $64 million question, and I can tell people, and that really will be documented in the second half, because this elite has blocked our consciousness, blocked our awareness, pulled the wool over our eyes. Now they know there's a paradigm shift, and they say this, I have those documents as well, in their own industry publications where they communicate with each other, and they even call us slaves, in like Brzezinski's book. They say the slaves are waking up. Imagine the former National Security Advisor calling us slaves. We are waking up. They've got to unify us with a helpful Pearl Harbor terror event. That was written in 97. The PNAC document 2000 says that. And so now this unifier, this catalyst is being used because there is a shift. I mean, listen, 10 years ago, most people wouldn't listen to me. Now, when I talk about this stuff, it's like selling snow cones in hell. I mean, I can't people now instinctively at their gut survival mechanism know that something's wrong. We have an elite that's been in control for thousands of years. They are actually losing control right now. They have been fearing entering this 21st century. For whatever reason, they were right. The awakening started about 5 years ago, and they are now panicking, and they are attempting to come in with this rain of black ski mask, Kurtzel helmet, surveillance, control grid, nightmare, and it's not working. And so we stand at this precipice right now. So tonight, I'd like to get into the track and control grid, what the national toll roads mean, the transponder tracker chips to go in all the instruction stickers, the cameras already
Well, when you say it's not working, what do you mean by that? Why isn't it working? It appears, just with the headlines you've read, it is working for them, that they're getting the upper hand.
Well, they're being forced to come out of the closet. They're being forced to tip their hand. They're being forced to take the velvet glove off of the iron fist. And Gandhi said it best. First they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they attack you, then you win. And I ravenously study history, because to me it's the most interesting thing out there. It's real, and it's much wilder than any science fiction book or you know, anything that you know, any fantasy book. And this has happened over and over and over and over again, but now it's happening globally, and we're going from the extreme now, from people just totally buying anything to the point where people are not buying any of it. And so things that, again, were totally taboo and you could not discuss just 2 or 3 years ago are now exploding onto the scene because it cannot be contained. And I'm telling you, I talk to a lot of people who are in the elite. Their own children, their own wives, they are waking up. A lot of them are softening their hearts that haven't gone too far into this darkness. And I'm just telling you that what we're seeing is an attempt, a desperate attempt to keep us down and to control us. And the New World Order has failed. They will fail. The only thing we have to fear, as Roosevelt said, is fear itself. We are going to win.
You know, if they get a hold, though, Alex, of the technology that is out there, that has been developed, that is being developed, it's going to be a tough fight for the good guys.
It is, but when, I mean, I talk to so many police. I talk to so many people in the CIA. I talk to so many people in the FBI. I talk to so many people at Fort Meade, NSA. I talk to so many, you know, the head of the Border Patrol, high level in Texas, I'll just say that. All these people, and they now are like, yes, it's a world government. Yes, government is behind terrorism. Elements of it are.
And listen to this, Alex. I don't want to interrupt you. We're coming up to the end of the half here. FBI officials, some of whom you've talked to, complained to the NSA during this wiretapping surveillance program. They complained to the NSA, and they said, this is unnecessary intrusion. Don't do this. And they just won't listen.
Well, that's just because the precedent's being set. It's been going on forever, but now they're trying to come out. They're trying to legitimize torture and secret arrest. One of the top advisors of the president, John Yoo, at a public debate in front of 2,000 students a few weeks ago, was in Chicago papers, said things that I can't even repeat on air. He said, we can torture children. The president has the power in front of their parents, and we can... And then they went on to mention Mengele-type stuff. And I mean, I'm blown away. I'm sitting here reading this, and you can play the audio clip on my website, and I'm sitting there watching them. And the attorney general wrote memos saying Bush is the law. That, now, again, Bush, folks, they're doing this because they've been ordered to. Quite frankly, I don't think Bush is even in control of any of this. So let's not get into, oh, and Bill Clinton will save us. Or, you know, this whole thing with Al Gore coming out and saying, oh, the police state. That is the establishment attempting to make it look like there's a choice within their control paradigm. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's Bill Clinton, it doesn't matter, Ronald Reagan, it doesn't matter who it was, since Kennedy especially, the bureaucracies are running things. They're bought and paid for by these global corporations that are not even free market, that are feeding on everyone else, and it's just the same agenda. It is flawless. It is seamless. It doesn't matter who's in office at that presidential level or that congressional committee chairman level. This juggernaut just rolls. But in their winning, they lose. It's just a fact. And you're right. There are incredible dehumanizing tools. And I want to go over this grid.
Yeah, let's do that when we come back with Alex Jones. Next hour, we'll talk about the Bohemian Grove. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Alex, circle your calendar, by the way. I'll be in your neck of the woods, Austin, Texas, on April 22nd, so we should get together while I'm there.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'd love to.
You have been saying some incredible things over the last few years. Why are you still alive? And I say that in all due respect to you, but you've stepped on some toes.
George, that's one of the most commonly asked questions. People say, how are you still alive if what you're saying is true? And And I'm not comparing myself to George Washington, but, I mean, how was he still alive after an eight-year war? How have so many reporters and people throughout history, I mean, that's a question, how are you still alive? How is Art Bell still alive? I mean, you talk about stepping on toes. You guys probably reach 100 times the people I do on a nightly basis. And believe me, George, I listen to your show a lot, especially when it, they re-air 2 hours every night here locally on KLBJ 590. And I mean, I routinely tune in while I'm working a few nights a week at least. And, I mean, I know you're talking about some really serious issues. But I got to be honest, 25 years ago, if you talked about this stuff at the level that you and I are discussing it, they really would generally falsely imprison you, put false charges on you, or kill you, or discredit you. But now, I think, again, it's a byproduct of this huge awakening that I think started building 10 years ago, but accelerating in the last three or four, to where if when they stomp on us, they just make us martyrs. They make us...
Well, it would bring more attention, I think, to what you've been saying if something happened to you.
Yes, but they do still, they do kill people with fake heart attacks or these fast-acting cancers, which are patented. And a lot of that has happened. And, George, I don't like to, you know, get off into it, but, I mean, it's on record with the police records here in Austin. I mean, one night I was told to shut up 7 years ago, and I walked outside, I guess now 8 years ago, 1998, I walked outside and four guys jumped on me, but, I mean, I don't want to get into being Mr. Tough Guy, but I gave a lot worse than they gave. But four guys attacking you has a way of getting you energized. But at the same time, you know, after that happened, I passed that storm. I got some threats over the years. You know, when I was exposing Waco, and I went up there and built a memorial chapel for the Davidians and the police that died, and we put plaques out there even for the BATF. You can go see them. But some people in government didn't like that. And I got some really serious threats and, you know, people out front my house and stuff like that. But, you know, I went through that storm, and now I got to tell you, most people in government are not evil, and they've got very small compartmentalized groups that tend to be at the top, but they're not in full control. They can try to steer things, and they're losing more and more control, and a lot of people are on our side. I mean, really, we are the majority. I mean, listen. Farmers shouldn't be watched by NSA satellites. I mean, that's the Associated Press.
It's a waste of money, first of all, and what are they going to get?
Well, exactly. So, really, so much of what we do is mainstream. And they can try over and over again to say, you're not mainstream, you're a kook. But over time, as people learn, wait a minute, he talked about that 12 years ago. He talked about that 10 years ago. He talked about that 5 years ago. Everything this guy has said has come out, and frankly, it's been worse than he said it would be. The only ace in the hole the globalists have, I heard that promo earlier of you and Steve Quayle, is an A-bomb or a hydrogen bomb going off, and the globalists probably will do that through their terrorist assets they've funded and created and have shepherded, and they're going to try to re-engineer things with that or a bio attack they engineer, just as sure as the sun's going to come up tomorrow. Unless we accelerate the awakening, which I think may not happen, we may have to go through this, and then they're really going to try to enforce it, and then people are really going to see what's happening. Because, again, the entire control grid is not pointed at what you'd call terrorists or, quote, criminals. Most of the NSA is pointed at economic espionage, and it's the NSA listening to, say, U.S. computer companies that aren't part of the grade A tier. They then take that data, and this is public, you can find the info, they then take that data, give it to global corporations that then go develop it in China, India, Japan, Europe, elsewhere. That's why we're seeing the destruction of our economy, not just the slave labor. You've got to have the other part of the equation, because we still invent more than anybody else. We, you know, we've got great minds here in America because of our diversity. Now, so that's most of what the NSA and a bunch of other agencies do. The rest of it is trying to keep control of their own analysts that keep picking up chatter of who's really behind the terror, not the people we've been told. That's what Sybil Ebbin said on my own show yesterday. She said, listen, who you think did 9/11 didn't do it, and that's what I'm not allowed to tell you, because she went in and read the intercepts and listened to it. And that fits with all the other data. So what are they trying to do to suppress us? I heard Art Bell about 2 years ago do a great show where he talked about, it's terrible, they're going to put transponders in cars in California. They're going to put these boxes, GPS. They're going to tax us. This is Big Brother. And I was chomping at the bit, oh, Art, if you only knew, because I had the industry publications where they were doing deals with Oregon, California, Texas, and a bunch, Indiana, New York. It's going to go nationwide. The Defense Department designed it. We beat a bill last year, starting 20 days ago or so. They were going to start putting new inspection stickers in all Texas cars with an RFID radio frequency identification device that you've talked so much about, George, with your courage here on your broadcast. Nobody else with a show like yours is covering it, even near it. And so, again, I commend you. I'm very thankful because I'm chomping at the bit, angry about this. We barely beat the bill by two votes in the Texas legislature.
That's too close. That's too close for comfort.
But here's the problem. TxDOT is still going to randomly put it in 2 million as a, quote, test project, and they put the radio readers up on the highways. I started seeing them go in 5 years ago. I stopped, got out a pair of binoculars, zoomed in on the name on the radio reader. I remember 5 years ago did a piece on this, typed it into the search engine, found the company, radio readers for transponders, found out what it was for, talked about it, oh, it's that loon Alex. Now the bills are going in, and they don't care if we beat the bill. They're going ahead and putting it in 2 million of the, I don't know, 14 million Texas drivers' inspection.
Now, what do they want to do with them in them? What's their goal?
That's the key. They say what they're going to do. The day your insurance goes out, you will be on terminals in each police car. They already have this in London. I have those articles right here in front of me if you'd like me to cover them. The day your insurance goes out, sounds good on the surface, but it isn't, you'll be a blip on the cop's screen. They will come pull you over and arrest you and ticket you. Now, if you disable the RFID, it was in the bill, it will be a felony. And, of course, it could accidentally break on its own, but that's your fault. You're going to prison. Also, they say they're going to ticket you. If you speed 5 miles over the speed limit from point A to point B, that radio reader will scan you and know your average speed from radio reader to radio reader. And they say this. They're going to ticket you. And a trip from Austin to Dallas, 180 miles and back, will cost you over $100. That's the official admission. And listen. There are now 7,000 miles of toll roads in the entire country, and these aren't the toll roads of today. The new ones that are going in, 8,000, and I'm just using Texas as a microcosm. Illinois is doing it too as well.
Well, you know what? I hate toll roads because I think we as Americans should have the right to drive and get from point A to point B without having to pay anything. Now, I know some people favor it, and they say it's important for construction.
Well, we've already paid
and bridges
for it over and over again.
Absolutely.
With the gas tax.
And we see what we're wasting in tax. I think it's crazy that we continue to charge Americans for the privilege of driving.
Well, wait till you hear the rest of the story. And just briefly, and this is a whole cornucopia of information that I hope we can, in the future, do more broadcast on, because this is going to face everybody. There's 7,000 miles nationwide. There's going to be 8,000 in Texas alone. And they are going to charge you in peak times upwards of 65 cents a mile. This is official. Then TxDOT said, oh, it's because there's no money. But I've talked to the comptroller, and it's come out in the newspaper locally in documents. We were using 15 million barrels of oil a day 10 years ago. We're using 22 million barrels a day now.
Mm-hmm.
Gas revenues, state and federal, are at record levels. It came out that TxDOT is drowning in cash, but this is the problem. This is so-called privatization, which it isn't. A private Spanish company was seated almost every state and federal highway in Texas. They're going to administer it and even give the fines, and guess who one of the large stockholders is in the Spanish company? King Juan Carlos, high-level Bilderberg, high-level Illuminati.
So wait a minute. Let's make sure we all heard you correctly. You're saying that a Spanish company is going to administer this program, which is crazy by itself, in the United States?
Yes, Sentra.
Amazing.
And one of the main owners is King Juan Carlos, who, of course, is related to the Dutch Roll family that owns Dutch Roll Shell, who's Saxe Coburg Gotha.
All right, so we know then he's one of the Illuminati. You got to assume that, right?
Yeah, the King of Spain is, definitely. Yeah. And that's coming up, I guess, in the next hour. We can get into that. But there's so many facets to how the head of the governor's office on this task force is also a registered foreign lobbyist. And then you go look at the state laws, and it's been in the Houston Chronicle that it's patently not kosher. So I mean, it literally, we're bathing in money. And it's not like an old toll road where they build a road and for 20 years you pay a toll and it's a private road. No. They're taking existing roads. There's not going to be toll reading booths. They're going to make us all take transponders. This is nationwide, boys and girls. Track everywhere you go. Track everything you do. Tax you. Ticket you. Literally rape the living daylights out of you. And in polls, they had a Houston Chronicle poll. 98% were against it. Austin American Statesman poll, with people not even knowing the facts, 93% against it. Oregon polls in the high 90s. California polls in the high 90s.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't know why it's not 99.5.
Well, so again, are we the outside radicals who are against us? No, we're the majority, and there's plenty of money. I mean, is 22 million barrels more than 15 million barrels, George?
Yeah, you got that right.
So I mean, go look up tax, but the general public hears there's no money for roads. And then remember when Schwarzenegger got caught last year, was in the San Francisco Chronicle, tearing up a road so he could, quote, come fix it the next day?
Yeah.
You know, they staged, and I had a city manager in studio on my own little tiny show last week from down in Houston, and I said, just be honest, you guys don't put in the emergency radios until last and then claim there's no money. And he goes, yes, that's what cities do. I said, you don't fill the potholes till last on purpose, right? Yes. It's a scam, folks. Listen, the current administration has spent more money federally than all presidents and governments in 220-something years combined. So my whole point is when you hear they need more, these are like greedy baby birds that weigh a trillion tons, and they don't need any more, and they realize that you're getting wise to this. So what's happened is private corporations that are not free market, they've come in, lobbied the government, they've taken the government over, and they've made it nothing but a huge pipeline to funnel everything straight into it.
This control grid, which is all part of this, what you're talking about right now, what's the long-range goal? Because they've got a plan.
Well, just in closing on this plethora of surveillance grids, we have the implantable microchips, we have RFID, toll roads, the cell phones. I was going to a funeral 2 weeks ago, and me and my dad were lost in Fort Worth, and he just called his provider, and he said, can you give me directions? They said, well, Dr. Jones, and he had it on speakerphone, Dr. Jones, you are at the corner of Main and this street. And he said, how do you know? And they said, well, sir, you're GPS tracked. With triangulators. So that's another little caveat. At the same time, I'm sure you heard 3 years ago, Florida Town runs the background of every person that drives through with license plate readers. Those were put in with Defense Department money years ago nationwide. Most of these cameras are already scanning and tracking you. So George, you ask, what is the long-term goal? They want us to know about this now. They want to intimidate us. They want to scare us. But we've had nothing to hide. We've done nothing wrong. It's that we don't trust the secretive, out-of-control elements that are in control of our government from doing this. And the stated long-term goal, in their own quotes, is more and more terror attacks will be carried out. Every time we give up more liberty, the next terror attack will get even worse. We will be herded into compact cities.
So they scare you first. And then they control you second.
Yes, they scare you. They get you to acquiesce and advocate, give up all of your liberty to them, kneel to them. And then as soon as they've got you pinned, as soon as they've domesticated you, then they, according to their own statements and their own official WTO, World Health Organization, Prince Philip, all of them, Ted Turner, public statements, books they published, the official plan, they want to kill 80 to 95% of us through controlled plagues. As soon as we're in the compact cities, as soon as we're thumb scanning and retina scanning, as soon as we're all tracked, as soon as the militarized police are in place and brainwashed that this is all for our safety, then the mass extermination will commence and will begin. And if we don't stop it, within 10 to 15 years, you, and maybe even sooner, listeners, you will remember this show and you will wish to heaven you had listened to me. But the good news is, I have tracked this and studied this. They are going to fail. They're not going to get to that point, George. They are not going to get to that point.
Now, on one hand, and let's tuck this aside for a moment and assume it's all true. I still believe, and you've got to believe, that there are true terrorists out there. There are people who want to destroy this country for whatever reason. And they're out there full of hate, venom. They're getting their arms from China, probably from Russia, and they're doing whatever they can to attack the United States.
Well, I mean, listen, it's what Dr. Tanya Karajan said 2 months before 9/11. She said there's a $300 trillion group. Rothschilds, others, Rockefellers, others. $300 trillion group that is organizing what she called the Deadhead Group, which in Russian translates to English to skull and bones, that is going to orchestrate our downfall. And at a certain level, we're meant to blame this whole police state on the U.S. government, blame it, oh, America's bad, and then Europe looks good, then they come out of it as the good guys. The problem is, if you track back, quote, real organic terrorists, if you actually track the money back, in almost every case, it actually leads back to Western intelligence agencies, and I can prove this. I interviewed two top CIA guys just a couple weeks ago, and I said, did our government, and this was official U.S. government policy, carry out terror attacks in 53 to blame it on Mossadegh and Iran to overthrow him? And they said, of course, that's declassified and admitted. Well, did we stage Gulf of Tonkin? Never happened. Yes, that's admitted. Was USS Liberty staged? Yes, that happened. So we have to understand that, let's say there were real terrorists out there that were going to kill a million of us.
And they want to.
A million of us dying is better than the globalists using that to scare us. You know, I mean, it's basically like a vicious chihuahua with big teeth could bite a chunk out of our calf. Would you rather be attacked by that, or would you rather it herd you into a cave where a grizzly bear is going to eat you?
On the other hand, is this group, this Illuminati, are they inciting these terrorists to the point, and then do they secretly fund them and finance them through various other straw parties?
Exactly. Very astute. It's all three. You have real organic terrorists, but that's usually low-level, low-intensity, horrible suicide bombings, things like that. Then you have other medium-sized attacks, which we can prove are financed by these shadowy globalist groups. Then you have the big, spectacular attacks, which aren't run by people in caves on dialysis machines, folks. Let me just give you the news flash. And so all of this is happening. Bottom line, you give up liberty, you get tyranny. It's a false equation that you give up liberty and that you get security.
Let's go to the Bohemian Grove, Alex, when we come right back. Alex Jones maintains two major websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. They're linked up at CoastToCoastAM.com right now. Alex, before we get into Bohemian Grove, a few months ago, we got a lot of emails from people and fast blasts that somebody had thought your websites had been, destroyed, taken down. It was a glitch, I think, between server companies, right? Something happened?
Well, exactly. It's two things. And without getting into names and what happened, we knew day one that it was, well, I'm not going to mention some of the names, but the other names are Cogent and Level 3, two major peer providers, major hubs. And they decided to just stop doing business with each other. But they control the internet, and that gets into how vulnerable the net is. And so, actually, thousands of websites went down for about 20% of the global population that was going through those hubs in Dallas, in Atlanta, Georgia, and a few other areas. But at the same time, we've had a bunch of different major companies. I'm not going to mention their names. Admittedly, block our DNS, and we have libraries all over the country that block us. We have universities that block us. We've gotten letters back. I mean, I've done stories on this, and that has been increasing. And they're starting to now trying to block alternative media, period, and it's not working. People always want what's being denied to them. So I say more power to the folks that are trying all this, because it's just having people batter down our doors. I mean, I'm not tooting my own horn. When I started out 12 years ago in a website, actually I started back in 97, so that's just 9 years ago, I never thought I'd be getting 20-plus million visitors a month. And that's not hits, folks. That's visitors. And, of course, you know, that's what Coast to Coast AM gets every night. But, I mean, just to have an alternative site and to have it getting that type of continual visitation shows that that you cannot stop the truth from coming out. So it's very, very exciting.
Well, we don't get that every night, Alex, but we do get that every week.
Well, I know you get a lot more visitors than I do. That's, and I was talking about the listeners of the radio show.
You know, the work that you've done, of course, when you talk about being blocked here and there, that is upsetting. It's upsetting because of censorship, and that's dangerous. And that, of course, hits right into what we're talking about tonight, and that's the freedom of people to do what they do. Look, I'm looking at FastBlast right now, and I'd say about 75% of them are overwhelmingly in favor of what you're talking about. 75% of them are scared. 75% of them are saying, right on, Alex Jones. Now, 25% of them, they're Americans. They have every right to say this. Think you're on medication. Think you're taking too much caffeine. And they, you know, and they say, look, he's nuts.
Why? But see, George, it's not my opinion. I mean, you are a news hound. You have won the biggest awards you can get in the world for TV journalism, what, three times?
Three times.
Okay, and again, I'm not trying to toot your horn. I'm serious, folks. We've got somebody who's won the biggest awards you can get. I'm sitting here reading these news headlines, and George had already heard of all of them. I mean, he scans the news as much as I do. I know he does. He's very informed. Most people aren't. And so, okay, fine. Deny that the farmers are being watched by the NSA satellites. Deny that people protesting the treatment of pigs at outside of a
honey. See, those people who think you're a kook, that 25%, don't listen to the fact that you're finding actual news events.
Yeah, that's all I do. I mean, you know, lost between the Michael Jackson and the Aruba kidnapping and all this other stuff that, you know, and Shatner selling his kidney stone for $20,000, great. In between all that, I just glean all the data that's admitted, or I go to legislation, or I go to industry publications, or I interview sources themselves. I do a lot of that, too. I don't just glean off other people's stuff. But so, listen, I'm sorry that there are UN documents and all these other big official documents where they say they're going to enslave you and kill you. Listen, I wish they weren't saying it, too. I'm pretty upset. I've got a family. And so I'm sorry. Listen.
You're the messenger, Alex, and they want to get the messenger.
Well, exactly. I mean, let's talk about Bohemian Grove.
And go back. Tell us a little bit. It's been about 5 years since you infiltrated that. Briefly tell us how you got into it, why you even were made aware of it.
No one had ever been able to sneak in and get out.
It's in Northern California, right?
Exactly. And there have been People magazine articles, Spy magazine articles. There have been Washington Times stories about all the reporters that tried and failed to get in and working with a British TV crew who you've interviewed. By the way, John Rosen's book now is made into the new Jack Black movie.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. That's, you can find that. It's pretty wild. But so this is getting made into a movie. But we were, and so I guess the folks that are denying this can put that in the pipe and smoke it. But I mean, this is real, folks. This is admitted. No one had ever been able to get in, and so we got in, a couple of us, and everything we'd heard, the rumors, global leader there, president's there, elite there, and they're worshiping this 45-foot stone owl. We're told on July 15th every year for 127 years at the time. Now it's over 130. They do this ritual. I show up. I insert myself. I exactly what I was told would happen did happen.
And where were you when this is going on? Are you hiding behind a tree? Are you wearing an outfit?
It's just like a church. You've got the people in the pews, and then you got the choir and the preacher. So I was in the pews.
Okay.
I was standing on the little grassy area, small little hill, the grassy knoll, literally, right there with these giant redwoods, standing on a redwood root to get over about 1,000 viewers or church members.
So they're all there with you.
They're all there looking across the little pond about 100 yards away to around 100 priests in red and black robes reenacting an exact ancient Canaanite human sacrifice ritual to Moloch.
And what are you doing, holding up your video camera there?
No, I had a very small digital camera in a fanny pack that I just walked in with, and so I was there. That's why I kind of climbed up halfway on the tree.
Oh, okay.
I mean, imagine for an hour and a half just kind of hanging by one hand on a knot on the redwood trying to get above these old men. And of course, in the film Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, you see all the men down below me, and I'm like hanging on the tree, sitting there shooting from the hip over them.
Okay.
Because I couldn't hold the camera up above my head. I had to, you know, have it on my side, so I had to get up higher. So I was kind of like a little mountain goat.
Right,
trying to,
and you couldn't let the world there see the camera, right?
Exactly. So I had a little bitty slit cut in the fanny pack, and I had tape over the little red light. But still, actually, you can halfway see on the tape, somebody did see a little bit of glows of the tape, and they're kind of looking. But I hightailed it out of there. But about 6 months ago or so, I get this email, I guess longer than that now, because July is more than 6 months of last year. I get an email, I'm an employee for a year. It's my second year there. I'm going to videotape it with my little hidden camera, and everything you said about it was true. The guy, I asked him, you know, he was a local, and he actually heard the show, heard us talk about things, heard your show, thought, you know, I'll go get a job there and see if this is true.
He's got to be the same guy who sent us a couple video stills.
Yes.
Okay.
And he went in, a lot of courage, and shot video of this. He went inside the Hollow Owl. He got videotape of the different effigies they use, the effigies of a child. It's child size. You have photos of that up on Coast to Coast AM. They're up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com right now. And all the things, you know, I was in there for 5 hours. He was in there off and on for 2 years. And we just call him Kyle. Obviously, that's not his name. And he was. I mean, just.
Do you know who he is? Because we don't.
Yes, I do know.
Okay,
who he is.
I'm not going to ask you who he is. You're not going to tell us on the air anyway.
You know, he told me everything I could say. He lives in the area. He's worked there 2 years. He heard the shows, saw the video, Dark Secrets, and said, "Well, why don't I just go try to get a job?" Then, in another video I made, American Dictators, I go back to Bohemian Grove, and I just interview locals. It's a small part of the film, and these local firefighters get real mad at me when I bring it up. Then he confirmed they worked there. So the guys that are in that film and also in the new film, they actually worked there. That's why they got so upset when I brought up. They said, shut your mouth, turn your camera off, don't ask about that. But to make a long story short, the new video, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, is the original, updated, upgraded for 2005, just released a few months ago. But on top of it is a whole new film, The Order of Death. And The Order of Death ties Bohemian Grove into Skull and Bones, into the Nazis, into the Klan, their own documents, and then the video inside the grove. But there's more. A few years after we went back to the Grove, and I hadn't put this in a film yet because I didn't know what to do with it, locals got very angry. It's a very beautiful area there in the rolling hills of Sonoma County that I had talked about the occult. I got some threats, and I was told to shut up by some, quote, local liberals. And I was demonized. And so in this new film, The Order of Death, we just showed up back out there, and there they were.
Protesting?
Protesting at the gates with a witch's pot, stirring it, conjuring demons, and actually, according to what they believe they're doing, whether you believe this or not, fighting with other spirits, and they're all there with their hands outstretched going, and part of this video clip is up on coasttocoastam.com right now, just little excerpts of the new film, Order of Death, And they're actually, like in some wizard movie, battling with their hands outstretched, going, oh, I'm battling them, I'm battling them. And there's hundreds of them, like 500 of them. And these are the very locals that got mad at me for going, well, it's bad that they hatched the Manhattan Project and Star Wars SDI there. And it's bad that they openly, in documents released, call for global government. But how dare you talk about their ritual? Well, now I understand why. And then I did more research. That area is considered one of the strongest spiritual vortexes. And again, folks, I'm not into all this. I'm just saying what they believe in. They believe that there are power centers around the earth. And of course, this has been believed throughout history. Jerusalem's one, Babylon's one, you know, south of Baghdad. There's certain areas, Stonehenge is one in England.
Down in Florida, Coral Castle near Homestead.
Exactly, but they believe that one of the strongest points in the world, in fact, some say the strongest point, but it's in the top five, is Sonoma County and is that particular grove. So that whole area, it's like a Children of the Corn movie or something. I mean, it's very spooky. It's very weird. And so we didn't know. I just went back out there one of my cameramen did, just to cover what was happening out there. And here they are, the very people that told me to shut up about the occult and attack me in newspapers locally, Press Democrat and others. They have a local magazine, weekly newspaper called The Bohemian. I was attacked there, called an idiot. And then here are these very people out there going, oh, I send in the spirit of the East. You will pay. And, I mean, it is.
Which you have on tape.
Yes, which we all have on tape. So the whole area is, I mean, it's like a Harry Potter movie or something.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What's wrong, devil's advocate? I shouldn't use the word devil. But rich boys, famous people, having a bizarre but fun time. Possible?
Listen, there are 2,000 members, and I'm sure a lot of them aren't evil and aren't bad people, but the point is that they admittedly, they have these lakeside chats, which we got the membership list this year. That's in the film. We got video inside the chalet, never before seen from our brave individual that sent us this. Because, again, I took it with a grain of salt. Stuff came in the mail. He gave me, you know, total rights and authorization to it. I said, okay, I'm going to use it. And inside the chalet where they literally set policy. I mean, they literally decide in there what corporations are going to get what multi-billion-dollar contracts. We got their own documents on this. There's 50 years of this. I mean, look, back in the height of the Cold War, mid-50s, head Soviet ambassadors would go to the Grove for a week. I mean, I have Chicago Tribune articles from the mid-50s with this. Vice premiers going, this is the ultimate secret room. This is tip of the pyramid, tip-top of the globalist power structure. Are there some camp followers? Are there some people there that are being co-opted? I'm not saying they're all bad. Look, another caveat to this is they claim they're Christian conservative. Well, I have New York Post articles saying, headline, gay porn stars service as moguls there. Our asset was approached over and over again as a young man for sexual favors, offered, you know, all sorts of stuff. This is the type of thing that goes on there, and they're reenacting it's like Skull and Bones. They're engaging in Satan worship. ABC News shows the clip, and Peter Jennings says, what's the big deal? The point is, if your neighbor was doing this, you wouldn't let him walk your dog or babysit your child. So I hope people will go to InfoWars.com and get the new Order of Death, Dark Secrets Inside, Bohemian Grove DVD combo, both films on one DVD, or if they go to PrisonPlanet.tv, $5.95, all 14 of my films, a one-month subscription, burn them to disc, get them to people, such an activist center at PrisonPlanet.tv. or InfoWars.com. And just in closing on the plug, if people want to call and get the new film, The Order of Death, which is so important, which will really wake people up. My films have gotten better and better. I'm not quite as professional as Georgia, but I'm getting better there, folks. 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. And they're copyright free, folks. I want you to get them. Make copies for nonprofit educational purposes. But when we get back, I can tell you a lot more, George. I've got a whole stack of notes of what he videotaped, what he witnessed, what happened, what it ties into and other things in the world. But for people who don't think that there's a secret room where all of this stuff gets decided, right now on coasttocoastam.com, you have the photos you took with a digital camera. You have links to the video of the things that are going on. I mean, imagine this H.P. Lovecraft, Outer Limits, Twilight Zone world where cops and firemen are members getting in your face, where locals are doing their own rituals right out in front of State Highway Patrol police in riot gear, but no one covers it in the press. Imagine a world where they literally set the course of Western civilization, because the one thing they do release from the Grove is some of the lakeside chats that they give beneath the Al Moloch, beneath the idol.
How do they release it? In what form?
They release it to the University of California at Berkeley. They don't release all the speeches.
As a transcript?
As a transcript. So some of this, there are transcripts going back to the mid-'80s. And, you know, there may be 20 speeches. They'll usually release one or two.
Of course. Are they real speeches, or are they just transcripts they want people to think they said?
That's a good point. I haven't witnessed a lakeside chat. One of our infiltrators, he watched Colin Powell give the speech that was released. He watched New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson do the speech that was released. He said that it was the same thing. He was there because he was a high access employee. I don't want to give out much more, but you have different levels. Most employees are not even allowed to get near the main areas.
Well, I got to tell you, Alex, and we'll be right back. Even if nothing sinister is going on there, the fact that all these powerful people would go there on a regular basis and meet, that's strange all by itself. We'll be back in a moment. So, Alex, as I was asking you, if nothing strange is not going on at the Bohemian Grove, that they're just there to have a good time, all these heavy hitters that go there, that's weird. It's weird to me. Isn't it to you?
Well, it is. And again, the elite know they're losing control. And by elite, folks, I don't mean somebody who's even worth $1 billion. I mean the true elite who own our private central banks, the Federal Reserve, the Bundesbank, the Bank of England. They understand that knowledge is power, and they meant to use the Internet and other systems as a control and tracking grid, and it really has backfired on them. But in my film, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, especially in the new updated version, we show people like Helmut Schmidt. He was German Chancellor of West Germany back during the 1980s, right before the fall of the Soviet Union. And he was a favorite of the Bohemian Grove. We have photos from their own internal annals that we were able to obtain from a rare book dealer that show him there beneath the owl, of course, with George Bush and George Bush Jr. Giving speeches. And he said in his own book, available at libraries, or I guess you can probably get it on Amazon, Men and Powers, a Political Retrospective. And he says in his book, we are the Bilderberg Group, we are the CFR, we want world government. He says we run things, and in the film I have blow-ups of the pages and the highlighted where he says it. And he says we have our own grove where we do rituals in Germany. This is a published book that sold tens of thousands of copies.
Well, go ahead.
He said that the grove in California is my favorite and the most powerful, and we do druidic rituals there. Well, he knows 99% of people don't read memoirs of German chancellors. So he knows really highly educated, informed people, generally in the elite or servants of the elite, read this. So it's like a big joke. It's like we're all stupid. And there's a whole bunch of other elitists that have talked about it and said things. Listen, I've now bought three of their annals, been given by widows, two other annals, in their own annals that come out every 10 years. So I've got annals going back to the 20s. It says, I mean, it's incredible, George. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I want to talk with you for a moment about Iran. And there's a reason for that, because that comes back to what you've been talking about all night long. And let me set the perspective for it. When the Shah of Iran, who was an evil man, propped up by our government, when he was running Iran, there was all kinds of torture and treachery going on in that country.
You said it, yeah.
Now, the people of Iran, most of them love the United States. Not a lot of people are aware of this. I know more about the Middle East than most human beings. Trust me on that. The people of Iran generally love the United States.
And they're not Arabs, they're Persians.
That's right. Now, in the 70s, when our embassy was taken over, that was orchestrated by a group of people who took over the embassy and did what they did. It was not done with the widespread support of the people of Iran. You'll see videos of people protesting and things like that. You know, a camera of 1,000 people sure looks big. You know that, Alex.
Now, well, I've seen tricks they use where you can show 20 people, but just zoom in close and pan past them and say it was 10,000.
Absolutely. So now, that being said, the Ayatollah Khomeini leaves Paris, comes back. People hate the Shah so much, they overthrow him. He leaves. He flees. He escapes. He ends up dying of cancer. And the Khomeini comes in, hates the United States. And, of course, we get this mullah government that the Iranians would love to see overthrown. They'd love to see him tossed out.
George, a lot of evidence shows that the globalists actually put them in.
All right. Now, we get to this point here with this nuclear problem that we're having. And I've got to tell you, I've looked at all these countries that have nuclear power, and quite frankly, they're not really friends of the United States. There are a few of them, but that's about it. Yet they have been permitted to go ahead and develop their nuclear capabilities. Now, in Iran's situation, I generally would have sat back and said, look, if that's what they want, if they need that kind of power, you know, and electricity like everyone else, let's go ahead and let them do it. The problem is, the biggest problem is this moron who's their president has spouted off this hatred and venom for everything. And you know, he wants to annihilate Israel. And it's the dumbest public relations move they could ever have done.
Well, I agree. And then we've got Christina Amanpour. Boy, you talk about a shill, running around misquoting them that they want to nuke Iran. Iran wants to nuke Israel.
Right. They had a mistranslation, which CNN then announced that, you know what, we screwed up on this one. That's
well,
true.
Certainly, but still, I'm still arguing with people that think that Iran really said that. You know, George, I bet you do know a lot about it. It sounds like you do. And if I could, since you're, I mean, what is the particular question? Because I have studied Iran.
Bottom line is that if they didn't have this president in there spouting this hatred and rhetoric, it would be easy for Iran to get what they need through the United Nations.
Exactly. It's very interesting that this young whippersnapper pops up and does all of this. Let me just go back here. I mean, if we've got a few minutes, I can really break this down because I'm concerned about my family, so I've been studying this for several years intensely, and we'll see if it meshes with your knowledge on the subject, George. Listen, number one, South Africa has got a whole bunch of nukes. Israel's got 400 nukes.
Pakistan, India, China, Russia.
Well, exactly. When our government wanted to stop Khan from getting nukes over in Pakistan, the Bush administration blocked that. Clinton blocked that. So, again, they're little buddies. They helped put in Musharraf. He's a total CIA puppet. China. Their top general, number three in their government, you remember, George, 6 months ago, he called a press conference, over 100 top reporters, Wall Street Journal, and he said, we're now targeting 200 U.S. cities. We have long-march missiles with MIRV technology. That means each major reentry device can have up to 24 warheads in it to target different cities when it comes in back into the atmosphere. North Korea, run by a complete psychopath, Kim Jong-il, who has a seven-story pleasure palace. He's like a bad guy from a science fiction horror movie. He's openly threatening to nuke us. Back in 2001, he shot a dummy missile, a test missile, that hit Alaska. That's big news in Europe, mainstream news in South Korea. Total blackout here.
We had it on this program.
Exactly. We've got missiles hitting America, dummy test missiles, but that's not a problem. Iran is nothing on the threat scale compared to any other country. And listen, Bill Clinton was out of control giving missile secrets and supercomputer technology to China. Bush came in and took all restrictions off, and suddenly all these so-called conservatives go, oh, that's okay. It's like Bush appointing all these anti-gun people to judgeships. Oh, that's okay. No, no, I'm the same yesterday, and I'll be the same tomorrow. They should be the same. I defend the Bill of Rights. We all should. I know you do, George. So we're at this point. Let's talk about Iran. When I mention Iran, how did we get here? Mossadegh, Man of the Year, 1951, Time Magazine. Pro-West, pro-America, anti-communist, runs the communist out of the North, runs the Soviets out. And then BP comes to him. This is all declassified, British Petroleum. And they say, you will give us all the oil, no money for your government, for your people. And he says, listen, you had that deal. I want 20% tax. We've got to industrialize. He was a poet. He was a liberal. And they said, okay, we'll send in Kermit Roosevelt, grandson of FDR, mm-hmm. There's interviews of him bragging. This is declassified. He wrote a book about it. Him and a 9-man team with $25 million at that time went in, hired 2,000 thugs, blew up mosques, shot people. This is declassified. Folks, this is public. This is not my opinion. This is admitted. Roosevelt gave interviews bragging about it. I heard it on NPR. He goes in. They do this. They then print up tens of thousands of handbills saying, up with Mossadegh, up with communism, hooray the bombings. And Mossadegh was blamed with blowing up mosques, as if he would do that. The people bought it. They overthrew him. Then they put the little princeling, the Shah, in. They tortured tens of thousands to death. They raped and robbed the country. And when the people were about to overthrow him, and we have clear evidence, and people won't believe this, the globalists staged the deal as if they would let Ayatollah Khomeini fly from Paris and not shoot him down, or he wouldn't fall and hurt himself if he wasn't a globalist. They bring him in. It's now declassified. Reagan makes a deal with the CIA. They tell him, it was actually George Bush running things at the time, they said, let this fail. We'll use it on Jimmy Carter. You'll get all the TOW missiles and weapons you want and hundreds of millions in money the day Reagan is elected. The day he's elected, they give him the money and they release the hostages. It was all staged. It was all an op.
Now, who's the guy then, this president, Ahmadinejad? Why is he saying what he's saying? Is he insane? You think so?
You know, I mean, George, it's proven that...
Do you agree with me that based on what he says, you can't let Iran get a nuclear program?
But listen, he is saying all the wrong things, but which makes me really be suspicious. Or if he's not an operative, they look at North Korea threatening to nuke us, and we grovel to them. But Iraq licks our boots, and they get invaded. So if he's not an operative, they're saying, hey, if we go... if you want to look at the view that he's not bad or that he's not an operative or the globalist, you've got to look at it from this angle. Why in the world, and this is key, did the EU say during this discussion, put seals on your peaceful power reactors, which they admit cannot produce weapons grade, the CIA's own documents that aren't manufactured say 10 years to a nuke, but the media hysteria acts like it's next week. Why then did they say put the seals on for 6 months, then they take them off, and the media acts like the seals have been removed, we'll all be dead in 10 minutes. It's seals to a peaceful facility with uranium that can't be used for weapons unless you have 14-plus thousand centrifuges running for 5 years straight, then you've got to make the A-bomb. So number one, all this hysteria that it's about to happen any minute is a fraud. Unless the globalists are going to carry out a suitcase nuke in America and blame it on Iran. So this is the grand chessboard.
Okay,
George.
But you've got to answer the question about Ahmadinejad. Why is he saying what he's saying? I mean, when you say, I'm going to annihilate Israel, should be blown off the face of the planet, there's a problem there.
Listen, George, when I don't have the data, I will be honest and say I don't know, and I'd like to get your opinion. I'll say this.
All right.
I don't, and if any listener hears this and thinks it's ridiculous, they just don't know history. We know the Ayatollah Khomeini was a globalist operative, not an American operative, a globalist operative. And the globalists operate out of Paris and in London. And we know they let him go in there. We know he had a deal with the CIA. That's declassified. People go, that just doesn't compute. Yes, it does, if you know your facts. The people were about to throw the Shah out. In the 1950s, the CIA had a program of getting rid of secular mainstream governments and funding radical Islamists because they're a bunch of idiots who are easy to manipulate and control. I mean, mathematics and politics was invented in the Arab world, the Persian world. It's not like they're a bunch of idiots. The globalists have to get their real leaders out and put in a bunch of despots. And so all I know is that the Ayatollah Khomeini, that was all staged. The hostage crisis was staged. We know all that was staged. I look at this new guy and I say, either he's a bad guy working for the globalist, which I tend to lean towards, or he looks at North Korea threatening to nuke us on a weekly basis, or China threatening to nuke us on a monthly basis. I mean, having press conferences and saying, we are targeting you now. If you get involved in any of our holdings anywhere in the world, we will nuke you preemptively. I mean, that is financial.
Well, basically, what the general was saying is, if you get involved in Taiwan, if we decide to act, we're going to we will take the strike. We can afford to lose millions of people.
And he said, if you get involved in any of our assets, but yes, mainly Taiwan. You're right. I mean, that's Financial Times of London, Wall Street Journal. They were all there. They called a press conference to say, listen, I live in Austin, 39th largest city in America. You live in L.A., third largest city or second largest? I mean, folks, second. We are all targeted by multiple warheads, by a government with 1.3 billion people, with an economy now bigger than ours this year, saying we're going to kill you. And our government's answer is give them all the weapons, give them all the jobs, give them the diagrams for cruise missile factories, submarine factories. Forget just selling them the subs. They sell them the factories. They're giving them the kitchen sink because they're moles and lobbyists run our government now. We're a whorehouse. And there's a little pathetic third world country that's been kicked into the dirt by our government who might get an A-bomb in 10 years. And the New World Order is running around foaming at the mouth saying they've got to be invaded.
But they've got a president there who would like to destroy whatever he can.
Well, I'll say this. He's saying every wrong thing.
Absolutely.
Every wrong thing, and I don't know what his major malfunction is.
Well, and you know, you would think the mullahs would shut him up. Somebody's got to go to him within that country and say, what the heck are you saying? They've got that kind of authority to do that. I don't understand why they're not shutting him up.
Well, I agree, and I mean, let's be clear with people right now. Persia is, what, 3 times the population of Iraq or
yes,
more?
Yes, absolutely.
They are not wimps. They do not run. They have kept their fighters up. They have kept their tanks up. I mean, our government gave $30+ billion to Saddam to attack them, gave them nerve gas, and it didn't stop them. 1.5 million of them died fighting him, and they almost took Baghdad until the U.S. started threatening to go after him. So, folks, if you think the quagmire in Iraq's bad, I mean, just try going after the Persians.
Hey, they sent 12-year-old kids to the front to fight the Iraqis. They didn't care.
Well, I mean, they're very serious, and they're not playing games. And actually, an attack on Iran will mobilize the hardliners. It will entrench them. And all the analysts are saying this. You know, I read what the analysts are saying. They're going, what are you talking about?
But I just, because of this president, first and foremost, I would not permit them to keep their nuclear program.
Well,
because of him.
Well, I know this. They let the IAEA in. They let them run everything. They let them check everything. They got video cameras in there, for Pete's sake. And the thing is peaceful. Now, I mean, they start trying to rig up a bunch of centrifuges. I mean, this isn't like making a ham sandwich. You know that, George. So it isn't like they're going to make this in the middle of the night and nuke us when we're not paying attention. It's not like when I wake up at 3 a.m. and want a ham sandwich. It's not like I'm going to go downstairs in the kitchen and make it in 5 minutes. I mean, you know, this is a long, drawn-out... The CIA's
why put your gloves down when this guy is admitting that if he had the capability, he'd use it?
Okay, well, I mean, let's say there's this little shrimp who's threatening me who doesn't even have it yet, but meanwhile China's saying, we're going to kill you, and we're going, no, we love it, yes. All I'm saying is it has no credibility. It's not of the constellation of threats. that are out there, which is Pakistan could have an overthrow any time. India could. South Africa is quasi-communist right now. I mean, I'm just sorry. I mean, I've looked at the threat board.
I know. Look, this whole planet, Alex, is topsy-turvy. We continue doing billions of dollars worth of trade with China, of which more of their goods come in here than ours go out. Yet we continue doing work with them where their generals threaten that they're going to nuke us. And then after 30 or 40 years, you still can't get Cuban cigars into this country. It doesn't make any sense.
I agree. If our government was threatening to go to war with China and telling them to back off, I would support them. I'm not going to support them bullying Iran. They're bullying Iran because they think they're a pushover. And if people want to know what the elite's up to, they just got to go to InfoWars.com.
Interesting. It is strange. The whole thing is weird, isn't it? We'll be back in a moment. We'll open up the phone lines now. We'll let them go on Coast to Coast AM. Now, Alex, here's a story that's kind of interesting. Let me just read a couple paragraphs to you and get your take on it, okay? And you'll find it in the Mercury News. It says the Bush administration has asked a federal judge to order Google to turn over a broad range of material from its closely guarded databases. The move is a part of a government effort to revive an Internet child protection law struck down 2 years ago by the U.S. Supreme Court. The law was meant to punish online pornography sites that make their content accessible to minors. The government contends it needs the Google data to determine how often pornography shows up in online searches. Now, Google wants to fight this. They've refused to comply with the subpoena. On the face of it, one would say, well, good, you'll get to these people. On the other hand, again, is this not an invasion of privacy?
Well, in the first hour, second hour of the show, first hour I was on, I described how, and documented, it's up on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com with links on CoastToCoastAM.com on the Control Grid article, where they're spying on farmers, they're spying on toy stores, they're spying on people protesting mistreatment of pigs. I mean, it's across the board, pot dealers. Nothing to do with terrorism, and it's the NSA doing it. It's the FBI, CIA doing it. All of this is illegal. But on the surface, what the average American hears is, if Bin Laden calls America, can't we listen to him? Well, the FISA court, you can go to him a month later. It's retroactive. You don't have to, you know, Bush gets on TV and says, you know, if Bin Laden's calling, I don't want to have to get a warrant. Or, you know, if a pregnant woman,
I don't think Bin Laden's calling anybody right now.
Well, of course, but I mean, he's given five press conferences now, and again, Bush is just a puppet, but he gets up there and he says, if a woman is going into labor, does her husband call the judge to ask if it's okay to speed? We need these warrants now to listen to Bin Laden. The FISA court, which I think is unconstitutional to begin with, but even they're violating that, lets you go there a month later. Retroactively, they've authorized tens of thousands, only turned down, what, like 18 or something? So they're even ignoring that. And all of his advisors say the president's above the law, he can do whatever he wants under the war powers, and now Specter's going to have some Senate hearing that agrees with that. I don't care what they say. I know Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution. You can all go read it, folks. What they're saying is a lie. But you mentioned Google. Look, the NSA in 1996, through a federal law, the same one that made it federal law, where starting on October 1st, 2001, all cell phones are tracked down to 15 feet in live time with your ID. That's federal law. They passed it in 96, implemented October 1st, 2001. Very convenient that they had that set up 4 years before, 5 years before, but it happened just on time for 9/11. Now, in there, every major telecommunications company, every major hub was paid. It was over $10 million nationally to put NSA hubs in where everything goes through them. Everything goes through them to begin with. So for the government to claim we need Google's database to tell if children are able to access porn on the Internet.
Or vice versa, right? Got people.
Well, exactly.
You know.
Look, it's the parents' job to do that. It's the school's job to do that. They have software that screens that out. So they know the average person just hears, oh, keep children away from porn. Well, you better keep them away from TV then, folks.
Well, but they're also trying to get adults who are doing it as well.
Well, look, the point is, yeah, and then meanwhile, major defense contractors are involved in child kidnapping, and the Pentagon says they don't care. All I'm saying is it's always for the children. And number one, they're already spying on people. They just want to announce it and be able to do it publicly, so they're giving us all these reasons of why they want to do it now. That's why it's patently a fraud. And in my film...
And you think they're using, though, emotional issues to try to trick us into accepting it?
Well, yeah. I mean, here's a better example of it. Here's an analogy. They say, those white supremacists, they're a bunch of pigs, which they are. They don't deserve free speech. But then you find out that the bills will restrict all of our free speech. Well, wait a minute. Free speech means that a racist black nationalist can say that he hates white people. It means that a big, fat, toothless Klansman can say he hates black people. Speech, you know, isn't just free speech if you agree with it, but there are laws they've tried to pass over that have come very close where there's no free speech in this country. They're trying to do that now on the Internet. They're trying to sign international treaties that control what we can say and do. These laws are really geared towards restricting George Norrie and Alex Jones. They have nothing to do with the unsavory people who aren't going to have their speech restricted. So that's what they're doing. And in my film Martial Law, we detail all that because it's not just a physical martial law. It is a censorship martial law. Listen, in 2004, late 2004, a whole bunch of Christians in Philadelphia went out to protest the Outfest, the big gay protest demonstration, promoting it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're for that or against that, I'm not debating that. I'm not, you know, I don't have a dog in that fight on this issue. Regardless of which side of it you're on, is the point I'm trying to make. Do 25 Christians have a right to go kneel on a city street corner and pray? And there's video of it. The people come up, scream at them, yell at them. The cops come, arrest them, and the federal government advises them, the Bush administration, to charge the Christians with terrorist crimes for inciting violence. No violence took place, but they said, you made people angry by praying. They didn't even insult anybody. They faced 47 years in prison. It went to court, and a higher-level judge threw it out. Folks, we're not getting near censorship. It's already here. I mean, take the MySpace news of last week, mainstream news. If you criticize the parent company on your blog, if you talk about competition, they have artificially intelligent software that won't even let you type it on your own blog. So you know, that's what's, in fact, I meant to say this during the last break. Folks, I don't think you realize, or maybe you do, how valuable a Coast to Coast AM is, how rare it is. In fact, it's unknown. Coast to Coast AM is the only marquee, juggernaut, old line media. By old line, I mean, you know, cable TV, it's all fractured. Their audiences are nothing. George knows that. He's a former big TV guy. Only big radio has the old audiences. Nothing can match it. Alternative media is huge, but it's fractured even more than, old line cable. To have George Norrie on the air, whether you disagree or agree with different guests he has, this free flow is precious, is sacrosanct, needs to be promoted and supported, because it is so precious to our country's future.
Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Arnold from Minneapolis.
Hello, Arnold. Thank you.
I had two quick questions. First off, for Alex and also for yourself. The first one is, I was wondering if you guys ever got those emails I sent you concerning what I caught off the internet about the Powerball, this thing that was going on that. And also, they're up here in Minneapolis, they're dealing with these scanners. They're blending out all the cash registers where you at these Cubs starting up here.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that.
And they were stating about phasing all this stuff out with this thumbprint deal, like you don't have a choice. And even on the bus.
Yeah, you're right. I'll let you listen, Arnold, on your radio. I did not get your emails, so make sure you send them to me again. But go ahead on the scanners, Alex.
Well, I believe he was talking about lotteries, and I don't know about that particular one, but there's a lot of scams involved with that. It doesn't really go to education predominantly, and it's bad overall. I'll just say that. But it's a free country. Do what you want. A big study just came out how it's mainly poor people doing it, and that makes me sad. I mean, if somebody who's rich wants to gamble, fine, do it. But regardless, there's a lot of fraud there. I don't know about that particular company. On the scanners, I read industry publications, it's got to be 9 years ago now, where they talk about us like we're animals. They go, we're going to have a national sales tax, that we're going to have an income tax too. But to implement the national sales tax is going to be graduated, so everybody's going to have to thumb scan biometrically. How do we implement that? Well, we take 10 checkout lanes and make 5 of them self-checkout without biometrics. Then a year later, we make 7 of them self-serve and 3 service. And then we phase it out to no service, just a security guard, and then we add the biometrics.
Mm-hmm.
And in Minneapolis, I've seen the articles that he mentioned. I've seen those. In a few other select cities, they've now gotten to the point of completely phasing out. And listen, I've been to one of the big home supply stores at 10 o'clock at night before to buy light bulbs. When my wife's like, look, you got to go buy light bulbs. So I go, and I go in, and there's no one there. There's like 15 checkout counters, and no one there to check me out. I've got to use the self-serve, and a manager actually walked over. He goes, Alex, check out the show, listen to you, check out the website. I know everything you talked to. I actually had the manager going, look at this, and he goes, guess what? Thumb scanners are going in soon. So, so it's look, I tried to go to SeaWorld, got a hand scan, or it's double the price. Disney World, to get in now, you got to do it. No reason, folks. It's just this is the control grid, and as soon as it's cashless, they can tax you, regulate you, control you, and most of these companies are just doing it because they've been sold on it. But you go to the biometric, mass meetings. They have the big conferences. They had one up in Chicago a few years ago. You had Catherine Albrecht on about it. You go to these, and they openly talk about it. The public doesn't like it, but we'll just do it, and they'll submit. And now a representative from the Defense Department, and General, what do you say? This strategic plan will control them all. I mean, you can go read where they talk about, there was an article in MIT Magazine last year where they admitted that this is all a grid to control us. I mean, it's not Alex Jones, folks. You can go read where they say it's to control you.
Well, I keep thinking about these old movies where you can see Big Brother on the screen, and all he does is he's talking to you 24/7. You see this huge face on a screen in the middle of these cities, and these people walking with their same white little uniforms on. You know, they're just going back and forth.
They have these big jumbotrons going, Homeland Security, report your neighbors, the government loves you.
On, over and over again. This thing with the lotteries, and let me tell you what has happened. In many states, you know, lotteries have generated a lot of money for these states, and what they did to trick everybody, to make everyone think, hey, okay, it's okay to do this lottery, let's do it, the money's going to education. The money does go to education, but this is what they've done, Alex. Let's say the educational department was divvying out $100 million statewide from a state budget every year for education. Well, what they did is the lottery, let's say, generated another $100 million. One would assume education will now get $200
million. No, they take $100 million out of the general budget and just give them a lot of money.
And just give them the lotto money, and they say legally, yes, the money went to education. Rather than give them the $200, which everyone expected, they get around it that way. And they've done it in many states.
All I know is in Texas, the law says they're supposed to give like half, and then it was actually 20%. So.
Way down. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us, Alex Jones. Hi there.
Hi, I have a question regarding the identity of the president of Iran.
Okay.
Was he involved with the hostage crisis?
He may have. Nobody has really pushed that, but there were some hostages who think they recognized him from many, many years ago.
They just so happened to be CIA operatives, so you can't believe a word they say.
But he might have been.
Sure, he might have been, and the way he's talking now, it's probably true. But my thing is, the top Chinese general says he will attack 200 U.S. cities if we get involved in any of their assets. And so we have a government with the weapons aimed at us, giving press conferences saying they're going to kill us.
But, you know, Alex, I would not come in on this one. I disagree with you on. I would not go light on this Iranian president. This guy, there's something. Either he's as coy as a fox, or he's got a mental problem, because nobody in their right mind would be saying the things he's saying.
Well, nobody in there. Why are the Chinese saying they'll nuke us? That's just
well, but yeah, I think they've got the muscle to do that. This guy doesn't, and that's what's so bizarre. Well, you don't go into a fight bullying your way through when you know they can just beat the heck out of you.
Well, I agree with you, George. I mean, I'm not really disagreeing with you. I'm just saying China has a Long March MIRV technology, and they're saying they'll do it, giving press conferences, but nobody seems to care. Meanwhile, we're all rolling around in catatonic fear over Iran. I just don't understand.
Let's go to our west of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
This is Joe from Albuquerque, and first of all, I want to say I have much respect for you guys, because you guys, you got to be pretty brave and pretty crazy to do what you guys do.
Yeah, probably. Maybe crazy first.
Anyways, Alex Jones, this question is for you. Have you ever heard or know anything about the G7, George Bush's master plan of New World Order that he originally conceived in 1974 when he used to be director of the CIA?
Well, I know about the G7. It's now the G8, the Group of Industrialized Nations.
Right.
I've read their policy reports. They're openly calling for world government, total control of you and your family. And I know George Bush was director of the CIA in 1974, of course, main ambassador to China before that, and the main operative, according to our documents, back in 1963. But, I mean, I'm not specific on, you say, G8 George Bush master plan. George Bush is what I call a super gopher for the elite from a servant, high-level servant family. They have guilds and servant families that serve the Illuminati. George, we've talked about that show. Sometime we ought to do that.
Yeah, we should.
But, I mean, sir, I'm not sure that answers your question.
First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Dale in Salt Lake City. Alex, you know, there are a lot of folks out here who admire what you do but wonder why you are so candid on programs like the Jeff French Show about the Zionist nature of these great powers that you talk about, and yet when you get in other venues, you tend to demur discussing that.
Well, that's a complete fraud. You can go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com right now. And I will talk about how almost every major government, I just talked about how Iran may be controlled by the New World Order, and I talk about how, I mean, I just made a major film exposing the Nazi nature of the New World Order, and I've got big articles about how Israel, with U.S. funding, microwaved and radiated 110,000 of their own children. So I just don't believe Israel's evil or Iran's evil or America's evil. We have evil people controlling us, and my message is the same everywhere, and you know, regardless, it's about the information, it's about the facts, and so you know I stand on the facts or I fall on the facts, and so I really just think that a lot of people are angry that I won't just go out and savage a bunch of different groups, and so they try to invent these things against me, and again, it's a fraud.
Candid discussion tonight with Alex Jones. He's got two major websites, Infowars.com, Infowars.com, and then PrisonPlanet.com. Alex, of course, believes right now we're in the middle of prison without bars. When we come back, we'll take the rest of your phone calls and what could very well be one of the fastest programs I've been a part of in a very long time. I'm George Norrie, back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Alex Jones, the rest of your phone calls, they'll be next on our next Coast to Coast program, by the way. Ryan Wood, our guest, an incredible story of UFO crashes. Make sure you're part of the program on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie, along with Alex Jones. The rest of your calls, Alex, let's take some calls before we run out of time. We'll go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, Hello. I'd like to say that I appreciate a lot of what Alex Jones has revealed about the government complicity in 9/11 and the police state measures, but I also try to balance what I consider his very conservative views on some issues with other sources like Workers' Org. But I do agree that in the case of Iran, this is nothing but a long-standing project of the Project for a New American Century, this group of people around the Bush administration, even before they came into office, to attack Iran, Afghanistan, and Iraq. It has nothing to do with the present government there. They had plans to attack those countries to grab their oil for purposes of world domination, ultimately leading to confrontation with China, which they saw as their ultimate...
By the way, I would add, I would just add to this, it isn't John's opinion or my opinion. PNAC, September 2000 document, Dick Cheney says, Saddam in the threat, we want the oil, we're going to use it as a launch base to attack Iran and Syria. But John, I was just predicting to myself where you were going next. Please don't tell me that the top Chinese general didn't threaten to nuke us 6 months ago. I mean, he gave a press conference.
Well, look, all I'm saying is that I don't want to argue against this this obscene war against Iraq with saying that we should be targeting Iran, or even worse, targeting a confrontation with North Korea and China.
But they're confronting us.
No, they're not. No, really. We are the ones that have the first strike of Bush in his nuclear policy review a few years ago.
Well,
we have the first strike policy against any country that is even non-nuclear.
They have escalated things with their... We can torture, we can attack, we can secretly arrest. The whole world's using that as an excuse now to do it. Now China oppresses their people, and our media doesn't even care because our own government's doing it. But I would add this. Yes, our government saying they have first strike preemptive power is now being used as a license by China. So, I mean, what do you say to that, John? We can attack.
John?
He's got his radio up. He's not listening.
Yeah, he's... He
thinks he got cut off, George.
You chased him away to his radio.
I'm sorry. You know, I was just thinking, though, this show has flown by, and it's just so amazing that I'm on with George Norrie on one of the biggest media outlets in the world, and it's just always great, George.
Well, it's okay, Alex. East of the Rockies, welcome to the show. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, Alex. I have a question.
All right.
I have a friend who has told me for maybe 10 years, I'm about 27, so I'm not old enough to know the history versus she's in her 40s, so she is. But she's always maybe prophesied that this Shah of Iran's son or grandson would come back and be the Antichrist. And after I'm listening to Alex, and I'm wondering if he doesn't think Iran is a threat now, would our secret societies possibly be pushing this Shah's family back into some kind of power over in Iran in order to make it a problem and use it against whatever they're trying to use?
Well, I mean,
their things against.
Well, I appreciate your kind words to George and myself, but I personally, again, everything I go off of is admissions, is what is documented, is what is happening.
Right, but that's kind of what I'm looking for. She's always kind of claimed this, and when it comes to governmental things, she's kind of right. And so I'm just wondering, would you see the Shah of Iran return, or this former Shah that was rejected?
Well, the Antichrist is supposed to come out of Europe. So, I mean, if you...
Well, I'm not really concerned about the Antichrist. I'm just looking, you know, I'm just... What she's always said just kind of tipped me off. So I'm wondering what you think about the Shah's family just going back into power. Really, that's all. I'm not even looking at the religious standpoint.
Well, the Shah's son, who spends a lot of time here in the United States, as a matter of fact, he plays tennis with a friend of mine.
I know. Well, I know I see him a lot in Colorado.
Yeah, he's all over
right.
the place. I am sure that we would love to instill him back in power. But I got to tell you about him. You know, the kid may be influenced by America, but he's nowhere near the tyrant that his father was.
Yeah, I mean, the dad really was. Well, let's say this. The people around him were out of control.
What was their horrible organization that they used to kill and maim? Savak, was it?
Yeah, the Savak, which, by the way, Ahmad Chalabi, or Chalivi, however you want to pronounce it, the guy is a convicted bank robber from our ally Jordan, and now they're going to make him the head of the oil program, and he was a secret policeman, a torture master for the Iranian secret police. I mean, this is shameful.
And we raided his offices about a year ago.
Yeah, and said he was a terrorist funding, giving Iran's documents. Now he's our buddy because he comes to New York 2 months ago. So it's like 1984. We've never been at war with East Asia. And then next day, we've always been at war with East Asia. And the next day, we've never been at war with East Asia. So the folks on your message board, you know, fast-blasting or criticizing me, that minority, I mean, I'm sorry I have a memory. I mean, they said Chalibi's this criminal, and now he's not.
All right, next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, where?
Hi, George. This is Zach from Wisconsin.
Hey, Zach. Welcome to the program.
I just want to say you got an awesome radio show, and Alex Jones is one of my heroes, and it's a great honor to talk to him. I just want to say, Alex, keep up the good work, and hopefully we can get the United States and the world turned around into a better place.
Well, you know, that's my message, and the globalists always try to divide. All human beings are children of God. We all need to be good people, black, white, Jewish, German, polka-dotted, Eskimo, I don't care. And anybody that tries to divide us, that only falls into the hands of the globalist.
Good point. Alex, the next couple years in this country and around the world,
critical,
I think,
for
are being
humanity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's so many things that are going to come at all of us as people.
This is the crossroads. This is the seminal flashpoint, the jump point. All the cards are on the table in all of human history. This is it.
Do you think in the long run that what I call the good guys, the people who care about other people, and that's really what it comes down to, they're going to win out?
Yes, the globalists can do a lot of bad things, but if we don't go along with them, if we don't torture, if we don't lie, if we're not evil, if we don't compromise, then their program can only go so far. They have to have our acquiescence, but more than our acquiescence, they've got to have our participation. And I'm telling you, I was pretty pessimistic a decade ago. Now, it's so wonderful, George, to see how many people love freedom, love their families, love America, love their own countries, and that realize what's happening. We've got a bunch of opportunistic scammers that try to play us off against each other who are little and afraid, and they're going to lose. The question is, how many of us are going to get smashed in this fight that we're destined to win?
Wildcard line, your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Linda in California.
Hi, Linda, fire away.
Okay. Alex, my God, you get me so riled up. Thank you so much for your information.
You're not alone.
It's vital to all of us out here. You know, I did want to ask about the finger scanning, but since you kind of touched on it, I'm just going to add that cash is the only form of payment that keeps people and transactions somewhat anonymous, and the biometric signatures are more than just that. I mean, even the Patriot Act, Section 403, is requiring the government to develop a technology standard that can be used to verify the identity of its citizens.
Well, let me just stop you right there. I have the states and the Associated Press complaining. You know, they passed a national ID card law last year, and that'll be implemented the next 2 years. But guess who's exempt? The illegal aliens who they want to give amnesty to. So the border's wide open. We're going to give amnesty to all the illegals, whether they're from Iran or Mexico or Russia. But then we've all got to jump through these hoops. The passports are going RFID tracker, biometric. Everything's going RFID, biometric tracker, but the borders. I mean, come on.
It's insane. It's insane. So I got to ask you then, with all this happening, and it's getting worse and worse, and I think a lot of people are waking up.
They're panicking. They're panicking. Listen, in a negotiation, in a business situation, if you can get the other guy to blow up and go wild, you've won. They've just thrown a fit at the company party. They just beat up the boss. They're cooked. They're dead, and they don't even know it yet.
Well, do you think this is going to peak? I mean, when do you think this is going to peak to where we're just really in the
strangely enough, and I don't believe in the. I mean, I'm not going to say I don't believe in it, but I never did believe in it. But I'm good at looking at trends. I mean, I actually sit here and study it and graph it. I'm looking at 2012 as the peak.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
No. Believe me, I thought sooner.
Listen, you may think it's a peak when nukes go off. You may think it's a peak when nerve gas kills a whole city. That's only a prelude. The globalists have said they're going to exterminate. exterminate 85 to 95% of us.
And I believe it.
Well, they're not going to get away with that.
Thank you. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you, Lynn. They want the population down to 500 million from 6 billion.
That's right. That's public. I mean, it's in a bunch of it's federal and international documents. That's what they say.
And nobody would bat an eye. That's sometimes I wonder when we talk about a pandemic, which I don't believe is going to occur naturally. I want to preface that because you know what? I wouldn't put it past some of these globalists who already have the ability to run away from whatever they concoct to let some germs loose across this planet.
Well, that's what they're, I mean, that's what they're openly calling for. In my film, The Road to Tyranny, we go into that. There are declassified documents where in the 50s they were saying Australia and the U.S. will poison the grain with stuff to sterilize Africans. I mean, this is nothing new. And it just the average person judges the world through their eyes. The average person isn't evil. The average person isn't a control freak. So they think, oh, the government's nice or people in control of it or these crime rings are good. You know, they wouldn't do something bad like that because people are naive. It's the same reason that a beautiful 20-year-old woman would get in the car with Ted Bundy in his yellow Volkswagen. She couldn't believe that it could happen to her. She couldn't believe that she was going to be tied down with him biting chunks out of her. But, folks, I'm here to tell you, it's real. Monsters are real. The New World Order is real. And as soon as you wake up to that and start saying no to them, you know, so many people too, George, they think they've got to fix the world by themselves and that it's going to be overnight and some hero is going to save them. No, it's a mindset. It's a process. It's just saying no to yourself. It's so many levels. Just getting involved in the smallest way. It's the old Chinese proverb of the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step.
What happened to these people, Alex? Where did they lose sight of humanity?
You've got to ask yourself that. George, you know this. The average person becomes successful. I mean, whatever success is, they make $1 million, they make $500 million, or they become the manager of the local store, they're making $100,000. Whatever your super success is, and you're not hungry anymore. You don't want more power and control. You know, you're just a nice guy. With elites throughout history, look at Rome, look at the Aztecs, look at the Babylonians. They go nuts. They start human sacrificing. They start wars. They have the people worship them as gods. Something's wrong with people that just want more, more, more. So it's a synthesis. Only scum, historically, get into the highest rungs of power. And there are actually bent, warped people who are truly aberrant who get into positions of power because a normal person isn't willing to do what it takes to get to that point. So it's a synthesis of evil, kind of a screening process. And so these elites get in, and to them, they're predators. They think we deserve to be slaves. They think the social Darwinists, they think we deserve to have this happen to us, so they're going to do it. And their rationale is, well, the world's an evil place, and if I don't do it, somebody else will do it, so I might as well be in control because, you know, I've got this big world view. Well, if they want us to all die and go away, and it's so lofty a plan, how about they line up first? You know, how about they jump off the cliff first?
They never would. You know, it's even people like those who promote suicide bombers. You don't see them strapping bombs to themselves. They send the kids. They change their minds. They pollute their brains. They get them to wrap themselves in these backpacks with bombs.
Exactly.
They don't do it.
They go out and they recruit some 18-year-old kid with no future, and they tell him how great he is, and then they send him off, and that poor kid doesn't know that it was in Haaretz and the Jerusalem Post that, in some cases, this is mainstream Israeli papers, that Israel actually fist-funded some of the suicide bombers against themselves. A lot of it's real and is happening, but at key points, when the government wants to look good, oh, a suicide bomber pops up, and that suicide bomber doesn't even know he was funded by Israel.
Well, let me tell you, I wouldn't even put it past some of the people who build the bombs to have it with remote control.
Oh, we know that there's been a lot of cases, one in one case, where they have people on board the trains, and they blow him up, and it really wasn't the person that was on the train. That's been documented.
Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Paul calling from Eufaula, Alabama.
Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Hey, y'all are both great service. I enjoy this whole show. Anyway, I was about a former guest you had, George, on the show, Jordan Maxwell.
Yes.
And he talked about British Israel World Federation in their own documents, that timeline that everybody should look at. You know, it's dated.
So exactly. You have Nazis who say that they're Israelis, and they're not even, I mean, it, and that's all public. I've got their own books, and this was written 150 years ago, and they're actually doing it. See, people get confused by that. It's like, I make films exposing Nazis, but then the Nazis claim that they're, I mean, it's so bizarre.
The whole thing doesn't make sense, Alex. The whole thing is upside down. It's like Alice in Wonderland.
It is. It's up is down, down is up, black is white is black. You said it earlier. It's 1984.
One more quick call, and we're done. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, guys. My question is, you know, back in World War II, the Germans were working on a bomb, and they were close, and they were working on rockets and stuff, and they were close to building the nuclear bomb, but they just couldn't quite figure
actually,
it out.
Actually, atomic.
Yeah. If Alex, if you were to take the 45 Germans side by side with the 05 Iranians, who's ahead of the game, the Germans or the Iranians?
30 seconds, Alex.
The Germans.
Well, you did that in 2 seconds.
Yeah, the Germans had jet planes 10 years before we had them. The Germans were extremely, I mean, they invented the mathematics that came up with the A-bomb.
Did you see the report that they said that the Nazis were detonating an atomic bomb on an island?
Yeah, that's been confirmed. They had some small, what they called, disintegration bombs.
Man, did we luck out, didn't we?
Yeah, we certainly did. And you know, in closing, George, again, I cannot thank you enough for having me on, and I hope people will go to InfoWars.com and get the new video, The Order of Death, new footage, Inside the Owl, the Mock Human Sacrifice, all of it on the same DVD, my original Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, two films on one, and it's been updated, and that's at InfoWars.com, or if they go to PrisonPlanet.tv, all 14 of my films, my book, Paul Watson's book, my weekly TV report. And folks can get a one-month subscription and download it all, burn it to CD, disc, use it as a way to wake people up. I hope your listeners will go to InfoWars.com or call 1-888-253-3139. And in closing, I hope they'll go to Streamlink this weekend and download this show and give it to people, because this has been, I think, the best broadcast we've ever done, George. And again, I mean this. I am so thankful to you for letting me come on air and tell the truth. God bless George Norrie.
Well, thanks, Alex. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, who will be on Sunday, I'm George Norrie. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.